Tonight, from the book of Psalms 107, I'm reading from the New American Standard. We're going to start here in verse 1, Psalms 107, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Verse 4, Psalm 107, verse 4. "They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way in an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by the straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He is filled with what is good. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of the Lord." The scripture says down at verse 13, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness, the shadow of death, and broke their bands apart." You know, this scripture is full of references to how God has delivered his people. God has always delivered his people. Is there anybody here tonight and you're glad to be free? You're glad for the day that Jesus set you free. As New Testament believers tonight, we are living in a great day because we stand here tonight as those who have been redeemed of the Lord. And the scripture says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. The redeemed of the Lord are those who have been bought by his precious blood. I remember in 1979, giving my life to Jesus. I'd been so lost. I'd been, you know my stories, I'd been raised Catholic. And I remember a campus minister came and he shared the gospel with my friend Vance and I. Vance was from my hometown. And we were in a Bible study 30 minutes every week, and he shared the gospel with us every week. We were so lost in our tradition. We were so steeped in tradition, we couldn't see. I couldn't see the gospel. So it took 6 months. He shared the gospel with us every week for 6 months. We were so steeped in Catholic tradition, it took me 6 months. But I thank God for the day that I finally realized I am lost and in need of a Savior. I need the blood of Jesus to come and cleanse me. And it was 1979 when Jesus freed me and set me free. And I'm so glad, and I've been proclaiming since that day, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. Now, the redeemed of the Lord have to be bold. God's called the redeemed of the Lord to be a bold people. The redeemed of the Lord have to have strong memories. I want to say three things to you tonight as the redeemed of the Lord. And if you're the redeemed of the Lord, you're going to have to remind yourself of three very important things, because oftentimes people today are forgetful. We forget all the good things God has done. We forget how God redeemed us. We forget the blessings and all the things that God. I remember in Richmond, Virginia, I was a new campus minister there. Didn't have a place to stay, found an apartment, but at the apartment complex, they only had one apartment and they had two applicants. And I remember the goodness of the Lord, because I didn't have proof of my income, and the other woman didn't have proof of her income. And I remember the person said to us both, "We only got one place left. Whoever can go and get proof of their income first and come back is the person who gets the apartment." And I ran off and she ran off, and it was like a track race. Somewhere in there, the Lord caused me to get back there with my proof of income, and I wound up getting that apartment. But let me tell you this, no matter what you go through, good, bad, or ugly, as the redeemed of the Lord, you're going to have to open your mouth and confess God's word and speak what's true about you. And so I want to say three things to you. Number one, you're going to have to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Can I get an amen there? Look with me at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4, you're going to have to remind yourself who you are in Christ. I said, if the Lord has redeemed you, if the Lord has blessed you, if the Lord has helped you, you're going to have to remind yourself. The scripture says here, you are from God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. I said, you may have read that scripture 1,000 times, but you're going to have to remind yourself that the greater one lives down on the inside of you. I said, especially when we go through trouble, we go through adversity, we need to be reminding ourselves that the greater one's living on the inside of us. If you're going to walk in victory, if you're going to overcome whatever obstacles are coming your way, you're going to have to remind yourself the greater one is on the inside of you. Secondly, you're going to have to remind yourself that if God be for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:27 says that if God be for you, then who can be against you? And I tell you, we go through things, we go through obstacles, but when you know that the Lord is on your side, then it really doesn't matter what comes against you. I said it really doesn't matter what comes against you. What goes on in your body, what may go on in your finances, what may go on in your life, when you know that if God be for me, then who can be against me? When you know that the greater one's down on the inside of you, and that if God be for you, who can be against you? I tell you, when you begin to remind yourself of God's word will work effectually in your behalf. Am I right about that? The scripture says that David had to remind himself that God delivered him from a lion and a bear. And before he ever fought Goliath, he was reminding himself of the goodness of God. I said, the greater one is in you. I said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Turn with me to Romans 8. That was Romans 8:27. Let's read down Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. As believers, we're going to have to remind ourselves. We spend too much time going through things when the word is true, and we don't remind ourselves that the word is true. And to walk in victory, we're going to have to be focused and not be forgetful hearers, but remind ourselves of every blessing and benefit we have in Christ. In Romans 8:37, it says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through who? Through him. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I said, we don't just conquer, we overwhelmingly conquer. And it's so important that we do what Joshua 1:8 says, one way to remind ourselves is to meditate in the word. And I tell you, when something goes to confronting you in this life, if we'll do what God told Joshua, and Joshua 1:8, he told him, meditate in the word. And when we meditate in God's word, his word gets internalized beyond just our brain, down in our spirit. When we begin to mutter God's word and speak God's word and read God's word, what happens? We remind ourselves of the word, and that word drops down in our hearts. And when the word of God is down in our hearts and then coming out of our mouth, the word will come out with power. I said, we'll win every single time. We need to remind ourselves that the greater one's on the inside. We need to remind ourselves that if God be for us, then who can be against us? We need to remind ourselves that we are overwhelming conquerors. I ought to have an amen in here. I said, God has created you and I to win. He's destined us to win in every situation in life. And it really doesn't matter what you go through. God's got a way prepared for your victory. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. God has destined you and I to win. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Praise God. I'm going to read that again. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Glory to God. And that ought to be on our tongues. That ought to be on our heart every day, thanking God because he's created us to win. And thanking God that he always leads us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And thanking God that he's manifesting through us the aroma of Christ's victory. Anybody glad about that tonight? I said, we have been created to win. We have been created to win. We've been destined to win in every situation. And we're not just conquerors. We're overwhelming conquerors created to triumph in Christ Jesus. And so it really doesn't matter what the enemy does. Really doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. We need to remind ourselves we've been destined to win. I said we need to remind ourselves that the greater one lives on the inside of us. I said we need to remind ourselves that if God be for you, then who can be against you? And we need to remind ourselves that we are overwhelming conquerors through Christ. Over in John, 1 John 3:8, the scripture gives us another great blessing as believers. And this is my second point. Remind yourself, remind Satan who he is. 1 John 3:8. We have to remind Satan of some things about him, and we have to remind Satan of some things about us, praise God. And the scripture says in 1 John 3:8, the one who practices sin is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Anybody glad about that? I said, not only have we been destined to win, but Jesus has already destroyed the works of the devil. Glory to God. And the Lord Jesus, he destroyed the works of the devil. He defeated Satan on our behalf. He put his foot on Satan's neck. And then he told you and I in the body of Christ, come right over here by me, put your foot right there. And now as you live your life, keep your foot on his neck and maintain the victory that I've already won for you. I said, we're not trying to win any victory. Jesus has already won the victory for us, praise God. Our job is to maintain the victory that he's already won, praise God. And when we maintain the victory that he's already won, reminding him that he's a defeated foe, reminding him that Jesus has already destroyed him, I tell you, we can walk in victory in every situation. The enemy's job is one of intimidation, my friend. He wants to intimidate you and I. He's hoping to scare us. He's hoping to intimidate us. He's hoping to catch us without us being reminded of God's word. But when there is a New Testament believer reminding himself or reminding herself of God's word, I tell you, the victory is certain. The victory is secure. And so you're going to have to remind Satan of who he is. He's a defeated foe. Glory to God. Look with me over at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. I said the enemy is a defeated foe. Anybody glad about that tonight? We're not trying to get any victory tonight. Jesus has already won the victory. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Glory to God. And so the reality of our situation is that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that Jesus has already triumphed over him, made a public spectacle of him, glory to God. And we need to remind the devil that he's a defeated foe. We need to remind the devil that Satan's already conquered and defeated him. We need to remind the enemy, praise God, that we don't have to put up with his nonsense because he's a defeated foe. And these are reminders that every Christian should be coming out of every Christian's mouth. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Go with me there. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. I said, if we're going to walk in victory, we're going to have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. If we're going to walk in victory, we're going to have to remind Satan of who he is. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, John had been banished to the island of Patmos. He turned around and he saw the Lord Jesus. And Revelation 1, 17 and 18 says, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. And I love that because he says, look, I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. Jesus has already conquered Satan. Jesus has already defeated Satan. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I'm so glad about that because it really doesn't matter. You know, sometimes people get concerned because they have a loved one maybe in heaven. They have a loved one who's passed on to heaven. But it really doesn't matter if your loved one went to heaven and your loved one knew Jesus, glory be to God, then they're walking in victory. I said, nobody in heaven, there's nobody in heaven without the victory. Everybody in heaven has victory. Everybody in heaven walking in victory. Amen. Praise God. And so we're going to have to remind the enemy that he's been defeated. Look at Revelation 12, over in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when we say so, we need to remind ourselves of who we are in Jesus. We need to remind the devil of who he is. He's a defeated foe, and we need to remind him of that, praise God. Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. The scripture says here, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. My friend, what needs to be coming off of the tongue of the New Testament believer? The scripture says they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. And I tell you, we've been redeemed by the blood. The Bible said the redeemed of the Lord need to say so, and we need to plead the blood every single day. I said we need to learn how to plead the blood every single day. Amen. The blood is a barrier. The blood is a shield. The blood is a hedge of protection around us. And we need to learn how to plead the blood. Glory to God. I remember when I was in Kenya, where I learned to memorize Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I remember going there and going there in a little propeller plane. And I remember after they dropped me off and the missionary came out and he walked with me and told me, he said, they got a snake up here called a boom slang. And he said, now, Brother Bill, when you go to the outhouse at night, you better hold a flashlight because that boom slang, it'll dart across left, it'll dart across right, and then it'll just hit you. And I said, okay to that. I needed to remind myself of something. And then he said, don't put your feet in your shoes in the morning, because you put your feet in your shoes in the morning, more than likely a scorpion will have crawled into it. He said, we've had several people get bit by scorpions because they put their feet in their shoes. And he said, so don't put your feet in your shoes. Just turn them upside down and knock them out first. I went and found Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I said, hey, you need to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. You need to remind the enemy of who he is, that he is a defeated foe. And you need to remind yourself of the word of God that applies specifically to your situation. And when I was faced with literal serpents, you know, I remember the first day after I was there, a security guard came in and caught two of them snakes. He brought them to breakfast. We was eating porridge. He brought them to breakfast and said, I got two last night. And I said, thank you, Lord, for your word. Glory to God. I said, but whether they're physical snakes or whether they're spiritual demons, they are defeated. The devil has been defeated, and you better remind that joker of who he is. Remind him as it concerns you that he's already been defeated. Glory to God. And the redeemed of the Lord have to say things. Remind yourself who you are in Christ. Remind him, remind that joker who he is, that he's a defeated foe. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I said, the blood is a barrier. I said, the blood is a hedge around you. I said, you need to be pleading the blood every single day. I said, we ought to plead the blood. Glory to God. I was living in Richmond, Virginia. And I had just gotten there. I was staying with the home sweet lady. Her husband had passed away. She was retired and elderly, and she had this big old house. And I met her at a prayer meeting in Richmond, Virginia. And she said, hey, I've got a basement apartment. You ought to come and stay. And so I stayed there for less than a year. But But in that her neighborhood, there had been this phenomena that had gone on since the 70s, where several of the kids from that neighborhood, some of them had gotten into the occult. And they'd gone back there saying chants and doing all kinds of satanic things, and several of them had gotten possessed by demons. And her boy was one of these kids that had gotten possessed by demons. He wasn't there at the house, but there was just a heaviness that was still in some of those areas, and you could just sense a spiritual darkness and just the and one day I came back from a Bible study. I came back from leading a Bible study, and nobody was home. And I felt an evil presence as I approached the house. But I went in, and the house was completely dark. I started down the stairs to my apartment down there. And I just felt something evil is walking behind me. But how many know, thank God for the blood? How many know the blood is a hedge of protection? How many know that the blood of Jesus has secured us in front of us, underneath us, above us, all around us? The redeemed of the Lord ought to plead the blood of Jesus. I never forgot, I turned around, I was coming down those steps, I could feel it. I turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, I speak forth the name of Jesus, I bind you. I said, I speak forth the protection of the blood, and I command you to go. And I'll never forget the peace of God that just swept over me when I said that. Oh, man, I went down to my apartment, prayed in tongues for a few minutes, and went on off to sleep. Never had any trouble with that. I said, don't let the devil intimidate you without you remind yourself of who you are in Christ, and remind him that he's a defeated foe, and then use the blood. The Lord has given us all the weapons, hasn't he? He's given us the word. He's given us the blood, glory to God. He's given us his precious promises. And so we just have to remind him. And the scripture says they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. Jesus has given us authority, and it's up to you and I to exercise that authority. And so often people know that they've been given authority. People have heard they've been given authority, but people don't act on it. Praise God. But it won't work for us unless we act on what we know. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there are two types of people. One he called a wise man, one he called a fool. They both heard the word. They both had the wind and the storm and the waves hit them. They both heard the word of God, but only one acted on the word. And my brother and sister, whatever you're going through tonight, I encourage you, act on the word. You're going to have to remind yourself who you are in Christ. You're going to have to remind that devil that he is a defeated foe. And you're going to have to remind God of his word. Praise God. You're going to have to remind God of his word. Look at Isaiah 47 and 26. Isaiah 47 and 26. We're going to have to remind God of his word. Remind yourself who you are in Christ. Remind the devil that he's a defeated foe. Remind God of his word. Isaiah, 43:26. I said 47, 43, Isaiah 43, 26. God says here, put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your case that you may be proved right. I tell you, it brings God glory when a New Testament believer comes before him with the word, reminding God of his word. You know why? Because God is a promise keeper. You know why God gets honor when we remind him of his word? Because God has never, ever, ever broken a promise. For God to break a promise to you, you would have to be the first person on the planet. You'd be the first person on the planet that God ever broke a promise to. And he's never broken a promise, and he won't break one to you. I said, that's good news. God said, put me in remembrance of my word and state your case together. I was at lunch today with my two sons. You know JP, most of you, a lot of you know JP. This is my youngest son. He's an attorney, and his wife loves to hear stories of him growing up, you know. I told her, I said, because he, he's an attorney. He's good at arguing things. And so she was asking me about him, you know. And I told her he had to be, he had to be about 7 years old, 6 or 7. He asked me, could he do something? And whatever it was, I said no. And he walked away. He had a bowed down head when he walked away. And I said, hey, where are you going? And he said, well, you said no, so that's the end of it. So I can't do it. You said no already. And I said, well, what if you could change my mind? And he said, huh? I said, what if you were able to change my mind? He said, how would I do that? I said, if you could think through the reason that I said no, if you could think through what my argument would be and then come up with an answer to any of my questions, then I might change my mind. And he said, I'll be right back. And he came back about 30 minutes later. I'll never forget that joker. He came back and he had an answer to this, an answer to that. And I wanted to teach him an object lesson. So I just let him do whatever it was. I said, okay, go ahead and do it. He said, really? But little did I know that any time after that, that he wanted to do something, he was going to state his case. And he'd ask me to do something. I'd say no. And then he'd say, let me state my case. I remember he wanted a cell phone at the age of 8. Now, these little kids today, they all got cell phones. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of them. It's not uncommon to see a little kid with a cell phone. But back then, his brother, they're 10 years apart, had just turned 18, and his brother had just got a cell phone. It was a big deal for his brother to get the cell phone. And I'll never forget, that little joker came to me and said, hey, Dad, he said, I want to get a cell phone. And I said, oh, no, you're out of your mind. No. You're not going to get that. And so he said, let me state my case. And I said, well, you can state your case, but you ain't getting no cell phone. He said, I haven't stated my case yet. And so that joker, he wrote a 3-page letter. And he told me, he said, a cell phone is actually a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. He said, first of all, you remain in total control. And anytime I abuse it, you can simply take it away. He added up how much time I spent waiting for him because he played basketball, he played baseball, he played golf. And I'd always be ahead of, at practice or whatever, waiting for him. He said, you're always waiting for me. He added up how much hours I waited on average for him. And he said, see, if I had a cell phone, we could reduce that number of hours that you're waiting. He said, not only that, he wrote this in the letter. He said, not only that, we're living in a day and age when people are coming into schools, shooting up things. And I know we believe the protection of God's word. But if there were ever an emergency, I could call you right away, let you know that I'm all right. He said, wouldn't that be good? You know that I'm all right automatically. He said, it's a safety issue. It's a security issue. He wrote out a 3-page letter till I said, oh, okay. His mother said, I know you're not giving that boy a cell phone. I said, read this. He read, oh, okay. His brother came to me. He said, I just got a cell phone. I had to wait till I was 18 years old to get a cell phone. He said, I know you're not giving that boy a cell phone, Dad. I said, read this. He said, okay. That boy got a cell phone. He's always been able to state his case. God gets the glory when you and I state our case with the word. And John, he looks at stuff that you've said or looked at stuff that you've promised, and then he'll put his case together. And now, I told him back then he was 8. I told him, I said, man, you'd be a good attorney one day. I remember he asked me, he said, Dad, I want to leave the Christian school and go to the public school. He was going to Summit Christian Academy. He said, I want to go to public school. I said, oh, no, there ain't no way. He said, let me state my case. And he stated his case. He told me how he, wanted to play golf. We'd written out his goals for that year. We wrote out his goals, physical, spiritual, wrote out even athletically all these goals for him. And so he said, one of my goals this year, one of my long-term goals, he said, was to play high school golf and then to go to college on a golf scholarship. He said, that's one of my goals. Believe in God for that. He said, but now in the seventh grade, he's in the sixth grade. He said, my school don't even have a golf team. over there at the public school, they have a golf team. He said, I believe I can make that team. And so he said, this is imperative to me getting my goals. I prayed about it, just had peace, let that boy leave the Christian school. And he said, you know, you're going to be concerned about my grades. You're going to be concerned about my Christian testimony. He said, I'm strong enough. He said, those kids won't influence me. I'll influence them. He wrote in his little letter, he said, look, there are Christian teachers all over the public school system. They can't say it, but there's Christian teachers all over that school system. He said, you've raised me right. I've got it. I'm not going to revert. I'll be stronger as a Christian, and my grades won't suffer either. You know what I let him do? I let him go to the public school. He made that golf team in the seventh grade. Went on to play high school golf and went on to play golf under college scholarship. But the point is that he learned how to state his case, and to this day, he's like that. But God wants you and I to remind him of his word. God wants you and I to learn how to state our case with the promises of God's word. And when we remind him that, Father, you said, when we remind God of something that he has said, I said, God is obligated to do it for you. And he gets glory that you know what that is. He gets glory that you've stated your case. He gets glory that you've reminded him of his word. I remember going through a tough time in my life, and I'd just gone through a divorce and had all kinds of emotions. And I remember when I was reading Isaiah 40 and 27 down through the end, and those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I was saying that to the Lord, and I was reminding the Lord that he promised to give me strength. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, you promised strength to me, and I'm not looking for a natural feeling, but I'm looking for that strength to carry me. And you've promised it. I don't sense it yet. Show me what I need to do. I need to walk in your strength. And you've promised that strength to me. And I said that to him, and he had me read the scripture again. I read Isaiah 40, 27 down through the end again. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. I read all that. And then I felt in my spirit, read it again. I read it again. Said, Lord, I see the same thing. Read it again. Sometime after the 10th time reading that, I'll never forget. The Lord told me, Bill, you are trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. Now, if you'll renew your mind in this area, I'll renew your strength. And I got busy right that night. I turned to Hebrews 13:5. You know what Hebrews 13:5 says? It says, he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. Woo! When I read that, I tell you, something went off down on the inside of me, that he himself has already said something. And I started reminding myself, what has God already said? He himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. And I began to confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not. I said, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. I began to say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. And I will not be lonely. Praise God. And I tell you, I went to sleep that night confessing that. When I woke up the next morning, I had a mantle of strength on me. I had a mantle of strength. I fell down on my knees with my hands in the air, and I said, Lord, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I got it now. I got your strength. I got your strength on me. My friend, if you're going to walk in victory, you're going to have to remind yourself who you are in Christ. You're going to have to remind the devil who he is as a defeated foe before you. And you're going to have to remind God of his word. But if you'll remind yourself who you are in Christ, if you'll remind the devil that he's a defeated foe under your feet, and if you'll remind God of his holy written word, the victory will come every single time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the promises of your word. We thank you, Father God, for the reality of our redemption. As the redeemed of the Lord, we're saying so. We're so glad to be redeemed, glad to be delivered, glad for every blessing and benefit in Christ. And we thank you, though Satan is the small g, God of this world, we thank you, he's a defeated foe. And we thank you, Father, you've given us authority over him. And so we exercise that authority using your word, using the name of Jesus, using the blood. We exercise authority over the devil. And then, Father, we humbly remind you of the promises of your word. And we thank you for victory. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed, if you need anything tonight, our prayer team is coming forward. These men and women are ready to pray for you. Come on forward if you need anything. Guys, come to the guys. Ladies, come to the ladies. And they'll pray with you. They'll agree with you. You won't leave here like you came. You want to be saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, want somebody to agree with you, come on down. Let these anointed people pray with you. In Jesus' name. Anything else, guys, before we go? All right. Well, you are dismissed. I'll see you. We will see you on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you.